Hi, welcome to the Word Sower Podcast, a podcast where we get personal with God's Word, discovering how it's relevant and alive today, and how we can respond. I'm Robin.
And I'm Mary. In each episode, we read scripture, ask questions, and discuss how God's Word has impacted us. So don't miss out on the insights, stories, and laughter as we learn together about what God is saying to each one of us and find encouragement to share it with others. Follow the Word Sower Podcast for a dose of good news. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mary.
Thanks for being here with me. I hope you had a happy Christmas.
Awesome. It was, God is so good.
God is good. And worshipful Christmas. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to worship Christ and to focus on, in this time of season, to focus on his coming in the flesh and how he's changed not just our lives, but all lives, the whole world. He's changed because of his appearing and his ministry to reconcile us to God.
Mm-hmm. He turned our world upside down, didn't he?
That's right. And as I've said before, he's the reason it's 2024 as we record this. He split time in two with his appearing.
He did, and he is always the reason for every season, but especially this season, and where we just rejoice mm-hmm. in his beautiful, everlasting love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we rejoice in the fact that he came for us, that he wasn't satisfied with leaving us in our mess. And living without us, he refused to spend eternity without us.
Yeah.
Today we're going to look into Isaiah. We're going to come at it from a different angle. We've been reading about the incidents in Bethlehem and so on, but mm-hmm. today we're going to be looking in the Old Testament at the prophecy, right?
Mm, yeah, so many beautiful prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So specifically today, we're going to look at Isaiah 9 and just two verses, verses 6 and 7 from Isaiah chapter 9. So I'm going to go ahead and read 6 and then you read 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Mary, this is so amazing. I mean, here is Isaiah, the prophet. This is so many hundreds of years before Christ, and he gets this download mm-hmm. from the Holy Spirit. Well, the book of Isaiah, I've heard it said, is like a mini Bible. There's so much prophecy, but it tells about so many things, the history of Israel and just the prophecy is so encouraging. Mm-hmm. And just that his name will be called Wonderful mm-hmm. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, Mary, when I think of Wonderful Counselor, I think of the one he's the one who gives the right advice. Mm-hmm. He's the best counselor. Of all the counselors in the world, he's the best counselor. And Everlasting Father, he's timeless.
And he's the author of time. So yeah. That's how I've heard it. The author of eternity, everlasting,
so cool.
Or the father
yeah.
of eternity. And, you know, it sounds funny because we think of the father as the father, but Jesus said, the father and I are one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he is the exact image of the invisible God, scripture says.
Yeah. And he left eternity and he entered time. He created time so he could enter it, you know? And he did it for us because he loved us.
And mighty God, he is Jesus.
Powerful.
Is El Shaddai. He is all powerful.
Yeah. And Prince of Peace, that's my favorite because his peace, he has the peace that passes all understanding.
That's right.
The world can't give it and the world can't take it away.
Mm, that's good.
No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you had to go through this Christmas season and with family, friends, or whatever, some people have lost a loved one.
Yeah, holidays are hard for
holidays,
some
for a lot
and they're just flat disappointing. You know, you think it's going to be like a Father Knows Best type show. I'm dating myself here. But it's, you know, it's kind of more like It's a Wonderful Life where the furniture breaks and the bills are due and your kids are making noise and, you know, people are sick and and you think, what's going on here? It's supposed to be good. Well, it is good and it's hard. You know, life shows up, life's, no, whether it's Christmas or not.
But if we can just let the spirit rule and reign instead of our flesh, sometime, half the time I blow it, the other half, the Lord is merciful and I can walk in the spirit. But life is hard, like you say, and Jesus knew it was hard, and he certainly didn't have it easy when he was on earth.
This is sort of a trite little, you know, saying, but life is hard by the yard. It's a cinch by the inch. And Jesus encouraged us to live in the moment, to live in this 24 hours.
Right.
You know, I think all of us make some kind of plans. However, emotionally, to live in this 24 hours, what my husband likes to say is live where your feet are. And that's emotionally. Emotionally, I need to be right
where I am. It's wise.
And to park at Jesus' feet, you know, when I am, not if, but when I am overwhelmed, you know, get to a little quiet prayer closet. It can be, I think John Wesley's mother just threw an apron over her head, and her kids knew Mama's in her prayer closet. Because there was no escaping those kids. There was nowhere to go. But we can find a quiet place or make a quiet place and just regroup with the Lord.
Yeah, and this is kind of a trite expression too, but yesterday is history. Tomorrow isn't given, but God gives us a gift of, and that's of the presence. He gives us a gift, and that's it's a present.
It's the present. That's right. And so, yeah, Jesus says, you know, tomorrow has trouble of its own.
Yeah.
You know, just to live in this 24 hours.
He sure does. He sure does say that.
And he demonstrated how to do that.
Yes, you know, he did.
He walked through everything that we're going through. He's gone through. He's our great high priest who understands. But, you know, backing up to verse 6, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. It sounds redundant, but it's really not. You know, the son has always existed in perfect fellowship with the Father and the Holy Spirit forever.
That's
There's
right.
never been a time that the son didn't exist. So, but a child is born.
And this was the first time that he became flesh.
That's right. This is the first time that was his holy nature was combined with his mother's DNA, and he is a person in the flesh. He's locked into a body for a period of 33 years, plus his gestation time as the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, overshadowed Mary, and then she became pregnant. He didn't just get dropped fully formed onto the planet. He grew in a woman's body, and then he was born from her body into this world, you know, where he experienced being cold for the first time, where he experienced, you know, the harshness of light for the first time, and experienced everything that we've experienced. A child is born. And so, you know, it's a mystery, really, that God would lower himself
Yeah.
To become a human being.
Right. It's so amazing. I heard a story, Mary. It was Billy Graham and Franklin Graham anyway. And they were walking, and that was when Franklin was a little boy, and they were looking at the ants on the ground and said, well, you know, let's be careful. Let's don't step on that ant. And then Franklin was thinking about, well, what about our ants? Like a little boy, you know, I wonder ants, and they have their own little communication. And he said, I wonder how it would feel to be an ant. And, Billy Wisely said, you know, you'd almost have to come and be an ant to understand what the ant world was. And Jesus, the same way. He had to come as a child, as a baby, as, like you said, in Mary's womb, to experience life, to understand us and what we went through. But it is just that he did it out of love. And as you said before, before time was, he lived in eternity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they had a beautiful love relationship. Mm-hmm. They didn't need us, but mm-hmm. they wanted us to be a family. I don't know how many millions or eons of time that they lived together mm-hmm. in perfect unity and harmony and love relationship, and then they decided,
let's make people. They're crazy. That is insane.
Let's create men in our likeness.
Well, and, you know, if you think about if everything is so perfect, why would you make people? But it's only when there is a possibility of not being loved that you can really experience that kind of love.
Unconditional love, yeah.
That we voluntarily give our imperfect love to him mm-hmm. because we don't have to.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons that he made us. And also just the fact that he demonstrates his kindness and mercy in us, in our imperfection. His love is made perfect in our weakness.
Yeah, when we are weak, mm-hmm. We are strong in him. He can be strong in our weakness. He is strong. And so his grace is sufficient. I was talking to my husband who has had a few little physical things and he's had to lean into the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, Tom, I went to the Sunday school class. I think you're much better after you've had a couple of challenges because he's pretty self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. But when he's crying out to the Lord over different things in his own life, it makes him so much richer in his relationship. When we have either health issues or relational issues, whether they're financial issues or whatever they are, that you have to cry out to the Lord mm-hmm. for help, which we all do from time to time, mm-hmm. It makes your walk so much richer because he's always with us in trouble and in happy times. We should praise him, but you know, we need to praise him, but in difficult times, we need to praise him too because his love is unconditional.
Amen. And then if you look at the next thing that Isaiah says, that the government will be upon his shoulder. Well, we don't want to dial in on politics, but who doesn't want a righteous ruler governing
yes.
the nations?
Yes. I looked up what does government mean? And the Greek word for government is, I couldn't pronounce it, but it means to steer with a rudder. And Jesus, he is the most benevolent ruler, but he hates sin, and there are consequences for sin. And but to have him in charge mm-hmm. is so awesome that mm-hmm. he's going to, and this is going to happen, Mary. That's right. Not just a fantasy. This will happen, and he will rule and reign forever and
That's
ever.
That's right. Of the increase of his government yes. and peace, there will be no end.
Yeah, we know what it is to have unjust governments and corrupt governments, mm-hmm. and that's true all over the world. He's the best ruler. Because he loves us.
Yeah, he's the opposite of corrupt. He's self-sacrificing. He's so loving. It says, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. So we know that gives us, you know, Isaiah gives us clues, you know, that the fact that he would be born a child, Messiah was going to be born a child. I think that was a big surprise. People were expecting a warrior king, and certainly he is that, but he came as a lowly human child. And then the fact that he would be in the line of David, that's another prophecy.
Yeah.
Right? And over his kingdom to order and establish it with judgment and justice.
Mm.
And so we know that, you know, it's a kingdom of wisdom.
Yes.
And justice. And there are people who they feel like, you know, Jesus maybe was a good teacher, but he's not God. And that doesn't even make sense, because a good teacher, a person who's good, and this is me, you know, C.S. Lewis did all of this thinking for us, you know, the logistics of this, that someone who is good could not make the claims that Jesus did if they were not true.
Right.
And Jesus, I agree. Mm-hmm. Jesus revealed himself to the woman at the well as Messiah. He came out to Pilate that he's God. You know, he admitted to his disciples, the Father and I are one. And over, he demonstrated his divinity and authority. And he fulfilled the prophecies. He is God. He wasn't just a victim of a political circumstance. He wasn't just a victim of the times. He laid his life down on purpose for the atonement of our sins and to reconcile us to God and to create. He created the church. The church was not created by people. Jesus Christ, 100% man, 100% God, created the church. He founded this movement. And it's not Jewish, and it's not anti-Jewish. It's all the nations. And so you could never say he was a good teacher if you didn't believe that what he was saying didn't make any sense. So his rule is one of wisdom and justice forevermore. And then I love, at the end of verse 7, he says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Mm.
We can't manufacture a savior. And a lot of us tried. And you still see people trying.
If you know,
Hollywood and sports stars and different political people that people
idols,
are trying.
Idols.
Yeah. But it's the zeal of the Lord that will create this one that's unlike any other, born into the throne of David. And we talked about it last week. The man that was on the throne was Herod, and he was a puppet king who was placed there by Rome. And he was only half Jewish and half, I think it's Idumean, and he was absolutely not in the line of David's throne.
Right. Usurper. He was a usurper.
He was bad news. He was not wonderful. He was not a counselor. I mean, just so easy to see the difference. You know, let's look at Herod the Great versus Jesus the King.
Night and day, evil and good.
Prince of Peace. You know, and they that saying it was better to be Herod's pig than Herod's son, because he killed his own family out of paranoia.
He was so greedy for power. He was so greedy to stay on the throne. And he was the one, like we just talked about in the last episode, of ordering all the children that were born in Bethlehem 2 years and under. And
what did Jesus say about the children? Suffer the little children to come unto me. Right? He loved kids. He loves children. And children are a reward from the Lord.
Yes, they're a reward. Yes.
And he says, such is the kingdom of God. You know, like we must all come to the Lord like a child.
Yes.
Yeah. And Jesus recognized that they were not full of themselves. You know, they were the most powerless people on the planet, children of that day and age. You know, de facto humble people. And he says, you know, come to me like this. But and I wanted to also dial in. I had heard a sermon recently. The author of Hebrews is talking about the annual and daily sacrifices. And he says, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And he says, there's a reminder of sins every year. Like, you know, these Jews back in the day, they're sacrificing and sacrificing, you know, to pay the price for their sins. But it never fixes anything. It never fixes anything. They're still reminded of their sins. You know, it's still on their minds and hearts. And tomorrow's another day. I have to sacrifice for that. And, you know, next year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, I've got to sacrifice for that. And on and on and on.
Mm.
Read the book of Leviticus. And there is a lot of blood in that book. And he says it's impossible for the blood of these animals to take away sins.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, and he quotes Psalm 40, I believe it is, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and in sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.
Mm.
And Jesus already knows what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He's not, like I said, he's not a victim of a plot. He is the hero. He's the one that's coming in to fix all this mess.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, this other stuff, you didn't even want it. Well, why did God command the Jews to perform these sacrifices? Well, first of all, God performed the first sacrifice. After Adam and Eve sin, he performs the first sacrifice by killing an animal and making, I don't know how many animals, because mm-hmm. he had to make clothes for two different people.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was a big animal he killed. You know, you're getting two outfits out of that. Scripture says the life is in the blood.
Right.
And that's when the system of blood sacrifice is set up.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it interesting? All these native populations all over the world who almost don't exist anymore because they've all come into contact with some of us, most of them. But how many of them instinctively had some concept of blood sacrifice to keep the world moving, to keep the world right.
Yeah.
And it's like there's something in our hearts that says there is God or a higher power, and we've got to perform these blood sacrifices. And so he sets that up so that we could absolve ourselves of sin. The writer of Hebrews says, no, that didn't work. That doesn't work, but it helps us to recognize the one who does,
mm-hmm.
and he gives the blood sacrifice.
Yeah,
the blood sacrifice,
sinless blood.
It's
sinless.
Not bulls and goats. It's his. Yes, his perfect blood. That the author of Hebrews says he carries his own blood into the throne room, our great high priest, and that's Jesus. And so he says, you've a body you have prepared for me. He always knew that he would come as a person and have a body. God before didn't have a body to sacrifice. No human who did have a body could offer a perfect sacrifice.
Right.
And then God comes himself. mm-hmm. in the form of Christ. And he knocks it off the charts. He checks off all the boxes. He lives here 33 years without sin. What are you talking about? I have no experience with that. I mess up all day, every day. I'm still finding out how I've messed up. You know, I didn't realize didn't remember saying that. I didn't remember doing that. And, you know, as my kids get older and I'm hearing some of the stories about, oh, well, you did it like this, Mom. Really? Oh, no. And, you know, I just hope you have a sense of humor and some grace for me. But so, you know, and he knocks it out of the ballpark, and he says, I have come to do your will, O God, because that's what the Lord wants. He wanted obedience.
Mm-hmm. There's a scripture. What do he requires? Obedience, not sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, he was the perfect sacrifice, but the obedience is when we are obedient, we show him that we love him.
That's right. He says, Jesus says to his disciples, if you love me, you will obey my commands.
Yeah. And the same
it's
with us.
It's not just about going to church and shopping for church experience and having a mm-hmm. feeling, getting that emotional high. That
right.
is not what the church is about. The church is a group of people who have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. That's, you know, and it says, as a result of this, then we become living sacrifices. And that's when my life changes.
Yeah.
Is after salvation has taken place.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
I don't get good to get saved. Mm-mm. Absolutely not. If you're waiting to come to Christ, you know, I've got to get this sin area straightened out. I've got to get this cleaned up. I got to get some better clothes to wear around those people or anything like that. Please just stop, you know, come on all the way in, sit all the way down, you know, surrender all of your heart, all of your checkbook, all of your life. And that doesn't mean, you know, I say that not to say we need your money, but I know what a tightwad I can be. And I know that, you know, generosity is difficult for me at times. And I know that being around people is difficult for me sometimes. And, you know, I get up in my head about all this stuff. Well, welcome, number one. Number two, that's exactly why God teaches us to surrender our money, our time, and our talents to him, because he doesn't trip out on that stuff. He does have good orderly direction, G-O-D, for you, for me, about our money, about our time, about our how we are using our life skills, our talents, and so on. And not just to move me forward in the game of life,
mm-hmm.
but to help others, first of all, to find out that God loves them too.
Yeah, that's so important, because we're here to bring others to Christ.
Yeah, he's not the holy Gestapo, right? He's not just looking to catch somebody at doing something wrong. He loves us. I love what Max Lucado said. If God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. You know, back in the day when your dad had a wallet full of photos and stuff like that. And so, you know, instead of an iPhone or an Android device, you know, we've got nowadays. But yeah, so nowadays we would say, if God had a cell phone, you would be in his favorite photos. You know, your photo would be in his favorites. Yeah. Your number would be saved on the speed dial page. You know?
Yeah. So good. So good.
He loves us. And that's before we come to Christ.
Yeah.
That's before we pretend we're good.
Yeah. And you know, Mary, this is progressive revelation throughout the Bible. There is Terry Cobble, I did a Bible study with her. He's where the joy is. And Jesus, the Trinity, it was on the Trinity. And it was talking about how good, you know, I sometimes think of the Father in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, okay? They're co-equal, they're co-eternal, and they live in love, and they're three divine persons, but they're mm-hmm. all, each one is totally God. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
Not three gods. But
not, they're
one
not
God.
Three gods. It's one God, which mm-hmm. is very unusual. I don't think there are any.
There's nothing like it.
There's
we
nothing
can't
like
wrap
it.
Wrap our minds around that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I used to think, well, maybe people maybe think, well, they morph into one. No. They help each other, just like a family would help each other and love each other. And they really do the model for the church and the family. But what I was talking about, Isaiah, here he is, hundreds of years before Christ, and God downloads into Isaiah the prophet, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace." Okay, this is what we call progressive revelation. Throughout the Bible, God shows himself in a little snippet here, a little snippet there. And then in the fullness of time, he gives us Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew and Luke, and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I think Luke and Matthew are the ones that really specifically talk about the birth. But it all ticks and ties. And I used to think, Mary, that the Father, God the Father, was kind of stern, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like the cop. But then somebody said, this was before the foundation of the world, he knew everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the salvation of, he knew that we would mess up in the garden. Mm-hmm. So if you have a gift that you give to somebody, and I may have mentioned this before, but if you have a gift and I buy it in July for a Christmas gift, it's like God the Father had already bought the gift in July for the Son of, mm-hmm. you know, for hundreds of years or thousands of years later for him to be born, mm-hmm. okay? Which is more loving? Do you love them more when you give the gift or when you think of it? Mm-hmm. He thought of it. So God is good all the time. The Father thinks it, and the Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, performs it, mm-hmm. and they all co-equal. But now I see how good the Father is and how powerful Jesus is. I mean, he created the worlds. He created the world. He created us. And the Holy Spirit is the power, too, that in the second chapter of Acts, when a mighty tornado came into the upper room and the tongues of fire, and they were all speaking each other's languages. Mm-hmm. And they were speaking all the languages of the known world. It does.
And the
seem...
Holy Spirit was in the beginning too, hovering over
yes,
the earth.
Yes.
Over the,
all
over
three.
The world.
And the prophets, he would alight upon different
yeah.
prophets.
He overshadowed people.
He would,
that's right.
And because they had something to say from the Lord. I believe the Holy Spirit was downloading all this to Isaiah.
Absolutely.
So he could write it.
Yeah.
And all the books of the Bible, it was a download.
It's
by
like
the
Jesus is the builder and the Holy Spirit is the writer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and
it's
Jesus is the word.
I believe these prophets heard like a cell phone. They heard distinctly as I hear your voice right now. They heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And they knew they were to write it, and so they wrote it down.
And it says, "The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us for saying, 'This is the covenant I'll make with them. After those days, declares the Lord, I'll put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds.'" And then he adds, "I'll remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." So by a single offering, Jesus has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And he did that with his blood, with his body. You know, a child is born, a son is given.
Yeah.
And he's accomplished our peace with God and the possibility of peace with each other. You know, that I don't have to live at enmity with God or with any of these frustrating people down here either. And I've been talking to you about that, you know, when I've been going through something in my own life and had some challenging relationships or, you know, experiences and so on. And then, you know, I'm all up in my head planning about, I mean, just, hello, listener, this is a real co-struggler over here, total sinner over here.
Oh, me
saved
too.
Saved by grace. And you know, when I think to myself, the next time I see her, I'm not going to this or that, or I'm going to say this or that. Mm-hmm. And it's not nice. It's not Christ-like. It's horrible. Like, I've heard a speaker say one time, I need that crime scene tape wrapped around my head. Well, I can identify with that. And then what happens is, you know, and it's only by cooperating that the Holy Spirit prompts me into loving kindness.
Right,
you know, he's changing
right,
my yeah. nature. Now, I'm not completely changed. I'm not done being sanctified, but I am on the way. It's like under construction over here. And so, you know, then he's the Prince of Peace. He, you know, I have access, a full access mm-hmm. to the Prince of Peace. I don't have to perform
no.
to get that. I don't have to talk to a pastor or a priest or anybody like that to have access to it. Jesus Christ's sacrifice was once and for all people, for all time. And now we have, the veil is torn.
Mm.
And, you know, it wasn't for Isaiah, but he was, like you said, he was looking through time, you know, empowered by the Holy Spirit
right.
to see into this time.
Exactly. And I don't know that Isaiah understood all of it. How could he? But what he heard the Holy Spirit say, he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And as did the prophets, I believe, Hosea, Micah, the minor prophets, Jeremiah.
Yeah, the Old Testament doesn't make sense until you look at it through the lens of the New Testament.
Absolutely.
And I stole that from my pastor.
Well, I've heard it said on the same token, Good Friday. Well, Friday, the devil thought he'd won when Jesus was nailed to the cross, but through the lens of time.
Yeah, can you imagine when Jesus gave up his spirit and breathed his last breath?
Right. And Satan thought he had won, but through the lens of time, looking forward, if he had not done that, we would not be free.
That's right.
And it's Good Friday.
Yeah, it is. It's Good Friday. And you know, so even though it's the Christmas season, We always come back to the cross, don't we, Robin?
Yes. The cross gave
us life.
And the empty
tomb.
Yeah.
The cross with our Lord and the empty tomb, you know, where he finished it. I don't pronounce it correctly because I'm not a Greek scholar, but tetelestai, it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
It is finished. There's nothing I can mm-hmm. add to it, and there's nothing can be taken away. Jesus accomplished everything on the cross, and it was always his desire
mm-hmm.
from before he became a human being.
Yeah. Yeah. It's God's mercy and his love are so amazing. It just fills you with reverent awe.
And so as we go through this season, I know some people were happy about the election that happened in November, as some people were unhappy about the election that happened in our country in November. As we go through this change of power and change of policy and all of the changes that are going on, every one of us can relax into the fact that God is sovereign. The government rests on Christ's shoulders,
yes.
not on the president of the United States,
no,
not on
right.
the mayor, not on the governor,
that's
and so
right.
on. The government will rest, and that's ultimately, and we can, as we show up in life,
mm-hmm.
we can pray for our authorities,
yes.
as we've been commanded to do in Scripture. We can participate in government if the Lord leads us in that direction. And, you know, if you're a Christian believer, you know, show up in your community. And instead of being a bleeding deacon, you know, be a servant. Roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty. You know, in fact, my husband is on the board of elections. There is a great need for volunteers just to facilitate voting in our country.
Yeah.
And so be a poll volunteer or some other kind of volunteer who is a godly, self-sacrificing, helpful, friendly person, no matter who they meet.
Right. Kind and respectful. And no matter who is president, Jesus is still on the throne. The Lord is still on the throne. He has not surrendered his sovereignty. And when Jesus comes back, guess what? No, there's not going to be any election.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's a done deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come, and, Lord Jesus, come.
Yeah. And these presidents only have 4 years or more if they're whatever. But Jesus will reign forever.
That's right.
And ever.
There will be no end.
Yeah. He is wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace.
Yes. Thanks, Robin, for spending time with me. Thanks, listener, for spending time with us this year. And we can't wait to, when we come back in 2025, to dive into scripture, and we look forward to sharing with you on this journey.
So true.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning into the Word Sower podcast. We're grateful for you and your interest in knowing God and His scripture. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can have one starting today. Right now, right where you are, pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I want to turn from my sins, living life my own way, and I want you to decide what my life should be. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. Come into my heart and life to be my Lord and Savior. Your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Make me new and guide me. Your will be done. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are a new person in Jesus. We would love to hear from you and help you know what next steps to take. You can reach us at wordsowerpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to the next time we're together when we will open up the Word of God and share how it has changed our lives with you.